Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our living and resurrected Jesus. Amen. Christ is risen. But wait a minute, can we say that? I saw a show on the Discovery Channel that aired on March 4th called The Lost Tomb of Jesus that drew over 4 million viewers. And they alleged that they had found the bones of Jesus. Both this film, The Lost Tomb of Jesus, and the book, The Jesus Family Tomb, claim that a first century ossuary found in southern Jerusalem in 1980 probably contains the earthly remains of Jesus. Now keep in mind, this is an entirely unfounded claim. But if it were true, it would rule out the resurrection of Jesus completely, and Christianity would soon crumble. The filmmakers were not content to stop with that little bit of blasphemy, so they went on to assert, with absolutely no basis in fact, that Mary Magdalene was buried in the same tomb, that she and Jesus were married, and that the ossuary labeled Judas, son of Jesus, belonged to their son. What they don't tell you is that Jesus was a very common name in the time of Christ, and so all this proves is that a Jesus had a son, but certainly not our Jesus. It doesn't even prove who this other Jesus' wife was. So where do people get these bizarre assertions? There is no historical evidence for it. There is no biblical evidence for it. And there is no real archaeological evidence, although this film certainly made you feel that there was by all of their speculative conjectures. So how did the filmmakers arrive at this conclusion? How did they pass off their irresponsible claims as legitimate archaeological inquiry? Well, you should know that James Cameron, the producer of The Lost Tomb of Jesus, is also responsible for some other reality-based films, such as The Terminator, Aliens, The Abyss, and Rambo Part 2. His movie, The Titanic, is the only film that's based in any kind of historical fact, and he fictionalizes the maiden voyage of this real ship that sank in the North Atlantic in order to make billions. Now he has simply taken some old bones from a first century tomb unearthed in Jerusalem, and he has fabricated and sensationalized a story around them. Cameron could have just as easily have titled The Lost Tomb of Jesus after another one of his movies that I was very fond of, True Lies with Arnold Schwarzenegger. For that's what this film about Jesus tries to do. It tries to factualize fiction. It attempts to make a lie sound true. Now, I don't know if you did, but I watched the airing of this program on the Discovery Channel, and I can tell you confidently that there was nothing presented in this film that persuaded me in any way to doubt the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In fact, it would take a whole lot more faith to believe in this film's skewed logic, its pseudo-evidence, and its outlandish alteration of the life of Jesus than to believe in the resurrection itself. I do think the devil should have been in the credit lines, for he is using such fiction to attack the truth of the resurrection, knowing perfectly well that everything in the Christian faith hinges on the resurrection. For as the Apostle Paul says, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is in vain and you are still in your sins. And yet, do not despair, Christians, for God, I believe, will use even this most recent assault upon the resurrection to encourage Christians for good, so that we read our Bibles and research the biblical and historical and literary and archaeological proofs for the resurrection. In fact, I predict that more people will come to faith than will fall away from faith as a result of this film, for this film will challenge every Christian to be better prepared to proclaim and defend the resurrection of our Lord. Now, having said all that, I'd like to go on record this morning to say that I don't believe the tomb was empty. But not for the same unbelieving reasons as James Cameron. For if you mean that the tomb was empty because Jesus rose from the dead, you are exactly right. For the tomb was indeed empty of Jesus after he rose from the dead. The tomb, while empty of Jesus, however, was not empty entirely. And that's the real point of my sermon title, Praise God That the Tomb Wasn't Empty. For what God would leave inside the tomb at Easter would assure us all the more of Jesus' resurrection. I know it's a matter of semantics, but technically, what the women discover is an open tomb, not an empty tomb, as we shall see. The only thing empty were their hearts as they returned to the garden tomb after the Sabbath had ended. These women had lost all hope after they had witnessed the violent crucifixion and the cruel death of Jesus. And they were returning to the tomb in reverence to anoint his lifeless body with spices. But when they arrive, the tomb is open. And the first thing the women discover inside the open tomb is light. In their sadness, they had expected the tomb to be sealed and shrouded in the deep darkness of death. And so finding light inside the tomb was a shock and a pleasant surprise. For they had expected to find the lifeless body of Jesus lying in the darkness in his final resting place. But instead, what the women find is that the light of life had chased the darkness of death away. Because in the pre-dawn darkness, there was more than just natural morning sunlight illuminating this tomb. There was a supernatural light originating from within the tomb. And as the women step inside, they find the source. Two men wearing white clothing that glistened like lightning. These were the Lord's angels that greeted them. The angels were the source of light emanating from the tomb, and they verified that a resurrection had really occurred. Had the tomb been open but dark and empty, with the stone rolled away, the women might have simply concluded that someone had stolen the body of Jesus. But it was the presence of the angels inside the tomb that provided that sign from God that his son had truly triumphed over sin and death. Now, our gospel, Luke's gospel, omits this part, but John's gospel mentions something else found in the tomb. The women entered expecting to anoint a lifeless corpse, only they didn't find a corpse. What they did find was a linen burial shroud and a separate cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head, and these were neatly folded where they had laid Jesus that Friday. These relics of his death are the third thing the women find inside the tomb. These linens, neatly folded to suggest that they were no longer necessary, also testify to the resurrection. And so by now, the light and the angels and the linens found inside the tomb should have been convincing and compelling evidence of the Lord's resurrection. But like us, the frightened, grieving women needed more. And so instead of rejoicing in these signs of life, Luke tells us the women bowed in fear in the presence of these angels. And it's here that we discover yet a fourth thing inside that empty tomb. The women discovered the good news of the gospel inside the tomb. You see, the angels weren't there just to intimidate people. The angels were there to proclaim the good news of Jesus' Easter victory over sin and death. The women had been so traumatized by the sufferings and death of Jesus that they had forgotten the many times that their Lord had predicted the gospel and the death and resurrection that he would achieve as a victory over sin and death. The angels are frankly a little more than amazed that these mortal women could not recall the many predictive words that Jesus had promised of this future victory. Now, angels live in perfect trust of God, and so they just assume that all of us know that God is a God who keeps his word. The angels can't help then but question the women. They say, "Jesus told you he was going to rise, so why are you looking for him among the dead?" The angels say even more incredulously, "Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful man and be crucified and on the third day be raised again." And so you might say the fifth thing the women find inside the tomb is their recollection of the gospel and the Lord's own predictive promise of his resurrection, which in itself is proof of the resurrection. But for those 36 some odd hours between Friday and Sunday, all the disciples, including the women, had lost sight of the gospel's promise. And so the sixth thing the women found inside the tomb was faith. For in that moment, faith was reborn in their hearts, and they began to believe the signs that God had left for them within the tomb. And that leads us to the seventh thing that the women found in the tomb, and that was their life's purpose. You know, they had approached the tomb early that Easter morning, thinking that their very reason for living had died along with Jesus. But now the resurrection changed everything. Their newfound faith in a risen living Savior compelled them to go and tell others. They had entered the empty tomb. They had entered the tomb empty, but they left filled with comfort and courage and Christian conviction because of all they had seen inside the tomb. And so that's at least seven things that we find inside the empty tomb. And the tomb is not empty for us either. It is filled with significance for your life and for your eventual death. For you too find the joyous good news of the gospel inside that tomb. For Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power by his resurrection from the dead. He was delivered for your offenses and raised for your justification, so that when Jesus was released from death, it not only ensures our resurrection, but it assures us that God has fully accepted his Son's payment for our sins. His resurrection becomes the proof that God has forever absolved you of sin and forever justifies you through the sacrificial act of his laying down his life in our place. And so we find a new and a stronger and more joyous faith after we take a look for ourselves inside the tomb through reading the four Gospels. The resurrection is faith's firmest proof that those who believe in Jesus have eternal life. For thanks to Jesus, we now know that life does not have an end. The sadness of death and its sting are swallowed up by the joy of this day. For our resurrected Lord Jesus has rescued us from our graves even before we have been laid to rest in them. Later on, not just the women, but the apostles would become eyewitnesses, not only to the empty tomb, but also to the living Christ. They heard him after the resurrection. They saw him. They touched him for 40 days until his ascension. While our faith is historic, and we know the resurrection is real, you will never be able to rationally prove this to an unbeliever, nor will you disprove it to a believer. For faith creates its own kind of certainty, as the Holy Spirit brings about an internal certainty based on the Scriptures. So if you need more proof, Scripture still offers proof of the resurrection almost 2,000 years after the fact, as it conquers all doubts and convinces our hearts to believe, and this time we can say it confidently, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Amen.